I just drank some water. Went down the wrong way. Excuse me. Lou Donaldson on alto sax opening up with Musty Rusty, which became the title track of his 1965 album. Bill Hartman on trumpet, Grant Green on guitar, Billy Gardner on organ, and Ben Dixon on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And my throat is going to clear up in a minute. But in the meantime, it's your throats that I'm worried about, because it's Free Your Mind Friday, and we want to know what it is you're thinking. This has been quite a week. And it helps every now and then to just be retrospective, take a look back, and see what the week actually meant and what we might have missed. So your thoughts at 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And don't be surprised if you get linked up with somebody else based on what it is you're talking about. Well, we have some early takers, and we'll start in Virginia with Walter. Walter, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. And good afternoon to the Lead PRN family.
Thank you, and same to you. Thank you so much for that.
With the computer, I hope you got that back in shape, because I know how critical that is to obtaining and researching information.
You hope that what?
I hope that you got everything sorted out with your computer.
Oh, please! You just stabbed me in the heart. I'm still hanging in here with it, but I really need somebody who knows what they're doing to come in and fix this thing once and for all. But we're inching along.
Okay, good to know. I wanted to talk about your report earlier this week about the exoneration of Reverend Edward Pinckney and how poignant that was to have him on the air. I am familiar with him through PRN, mostly through Black Agenda Report, but to have him on the air with his exuberant personality and his positive attitude was extremely refreshing. And the fact that he was able to put the 3 years of being incarcerated unjustly behind him to keep moving forward for the organization and the movement was extremely exhilarating to see that we have leaders in the community out like that that would hopefully become national leaders.
That's one of the reasons that I talked about it, because, of course, we covered Reverend Pinckney during the course of his arrest and the trial and incarceration and so forth. But most importantly, I mean, here's a guy who is, by his own example, the kind of leadership that we desperately need. And he's honest. He's a real grassroots organizer, and he doesn't intend to change that. And it is so refreshing. You're right. Thank you.
Yeah, and what really struck to me is earlier within the last month or so, I called in and I talked about, you know, you were talking about solutions in terms of addressing the system of oppression that we find ourselves in, particularly as people of color. And I basically had a three-prong approach of a system, which was social, judicial, and financial, in terms of bringing those three areas to bear and creating our own systems and mechanisms. And what I wanted to point out about Reverend Pinckney was not only is he an excellent grassroots organizer and community leader, but he also has a mechanism by which to fund what he is doing. So when he put out his information on the air on your show, it was extremely straightforward for me to donate. And I think that, you know, part of the issue that we have in our community is not having those mechanisms and then having the wherewithal to actually donate. So what I plan to do in the future is to assist our people with having, extra means of income so that we would have money to donate to just causes.
Very good idea, and very, very needed, because so many people, I mean, there are Reverend Pinckneys all over the country, not nearly as many as we need, but there are quite a few who are hampered in getting done the work that they set out to do simply because the resources aren't there for them to do it. And this is an advisory that we keep getting all the time, that we are responsible for our own liberation, and we have to just step up to the plate and fund our liberation. So that is a very poignant lesson that we need to keep in mind all the time. And I'll be announcing from time to time, you know, just in case people want to reach out to Reverend Pinckney, how best to assist him in what it is he's doing. Thank you for your call, and thank you for starting us off on such a positive foot today. Thank you. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Beautiful, you, Trees.
Hey, Harvey, how are you doing?
Very good. Much love to you and your vast Progressive Radio Network audience.
And thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. And I'd like to talk about preserving America's freshwater resources with a solar water credit. And due to drought, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said that the Colorado River is expected to only carry 43% of the average amount of water this year. And the Colorado River serves about 40 million people in Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Wyoming, Utah, as well as 20 Native American reservations. And here in California, Governor Jerry Brown is pushing a $17 billion plan to put two 35-mile-long tunnels to divert water from northern to southern California because of drought down there. And at the same time, it turns out that coal-fired, oil-fired, methane, and nuclear power plants are second only to agriculture in their daily use of America's freshwater resources. And additionally, fracking for oil and methane poisons the America's groundwater by pumping carcinogenic chemicals into our freshwater aquifers. But the good news is that once manufactured and installed, solar panels use virtually no water over their 20 to 25 year warrantied lifetime. And last Wednesday, California became the first state to require solar panels be installed on just about every home after being built after January 1st, 2020. So I'd like to see people and businesses who install solar panels on their rooftops and in their property be rewarded with a solar water credit in the form of a yearly tax rebate or tax credit for the water that they didn't use while generating clean, renewable electricity. And if you buy an electric vehicle and plug them into your solar electric rooftop, then you'll save additional billions of gallons of water every year. So now and in the future, it's about our need to use solar electricity to help conserve the liquid of life, our freshwater resources, with a solar water credit. And I say it's time to get star-powered. Let's get solar.
And I say that that's a great idea. And thanks for introducing it to us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
From New York, Don, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Eutrice. It's good to be able to speak to you. Listen,
same here.
I was just... yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Listen, that was very, very informative and very important what Harvey was just talking about. I know that there's plenty of issues in this country. Gary on his show today was just talking about, as he has done before, about the situation in going on currently in Libya, where there are Africans being sold into slavery. People that have tried to make their way from countries, I guess, in sub-Saharan Africa, where there are political and military situations going on, trying to make their way to a better life in Europe, I suppose. And they have gotten stuck and trapped in Libya and be sold in modern-day slave markets. And I'm just wondering if you could research, or maybe some of the listeners, and see if there is anyone from this country or from some of the European countries who are reporting on this. And maybe that you can interview them on your show, and they can have them, like you do Charles Ortel on the Clintons from time to time, come and give us an update on this situation. Also, I'm curious to know what the African Union is thinking about this, and possibly what are they doing about this situation. So that's my what I called about today, to see if there's anyone that can look into this situation and give us some information and updates.
Well, there has been quite a bit of reporting, not nearly enough. Yeah. I agree. There has been quite a bit of reporting on slavery, the reintroduction of slavery in Libya. Unfortunately, Libya is not the only place where this is occurring, but it is in the spotlight because of the enormity of it, and because, well, you know, the media that's covering it from overseas, you know, we have quite a bit of coverage in European-based media, alternative media, not the regular media. And so it has trickled out in that way. But what's happening is that we have a compounding of problems. And we should also remember that there is an interest in this. And this was going back even to the days of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. These conditions were well known. And these conditions are the direct consequences of war. U.S. instigated war. And of course, we have the war of Al Qaeda and ISIS and other such groups. But it is something that I think I would want to do, but in a very different way. So thanks for putting that on the table. I'll take a look at what we can do that is different in terms of the reporting on the subject. It is a dire problem. It's a very large problem, and you really need to understand the fuller dimensions of it. It is not just that slavery is occurring. It is that these are the consequences of war. And here we have all of the imperialist powers having a hand, practically, in creating a dispossessed community. And that, in turn, creates a large population trying, like any other population would, trying simply to survive. The response from the international community has been less than what it ought to be. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
But I thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor, and as always, my personal therapist. How are you?
Your therapist needs some serious therapy herself.
not as much as I do. Well, I have a lot of pain in my heart today, and I just want to vent a little, all right?
Okay.
Now, first of all, I heard the last caller talked about the African Union and so forth. They are a shameless group of people. They are a waste of time. They are just an exercise in futility. So I don't even waste my time with these folks. Now, the other thing is this. I noticed that the president of Nigeria and a couple of others paid a visit to the imperialist white House of Supremacy, and no mention was made of this derogatory term or title that this man occupying the White House has made about the African continent and others in the Caribbean and so forth. And nothing was so I wondered, well, anyway, I just want to throw that out there. But what I really called you about is this. We are going to be having a visit next week from the former Prime Minister of Jamaica, one who goes by the name of, they put Honorable in front of his name, Honorable Bruce Golding. And I looked in Webster's dictionary, and I looked at the word honorable. And I don't understand why these rascals, these rogues, have these all these fancy titles in front of the name. But anyway, be that as it may, you'll be here next week for a town hall meeting. He said he's here, the guest of one of Jamaica's major food supply company, where they want to project themselves as a Jamaican company, but they really are a multinational company that gets all the products from many of these slave labors and so forth throughout the world. They slap Jamaican product or whatever on it, but they don't come from Jamaica. All right? But be that as it may, he'll be their guest, their keynote speaker. And they're asking us in the diaspora to come out and to listen to what his presentation and to engage him. And it's all about trying to make Jamaica a better place for us all and so on and so forth. And last time I remember, my professor, this man and his regime presided over the most egregious massacre of modern-day Jamaican history in a place called Tivoli Gardens. The government's report is, or the regime's report is, that 70-something people, African people, were slaughtered. It's just 70-something, so, you know, big deal. But people on the ground, even if there's one, but people on the ground that I've listened to said it's more like of 200 and plus plenty. Right? And we all know that governments lie to their people through their teeth. They constantly lie, all of them. Some of them tell big white lies, and some tell little black lies. But he is coming here, and he has been sanitized, the media in Jamaica, and many of these toadies here who want to be liked by the system, the people who, let's see, are supposed to be in power. They want to have the privilege of rubbing shoulders with them. They want to be invited to the conference and the cocktail ships. And you know, that kind of relationship. Some of them want to get their little advertising silver, few piece of silver from this big company to advertise on their little radio sharecropping program and so forth. So they all go out to act nice, to play nice. They don't ask. They all ask politically correct questions, if they do ask any questions. Those who go to ask serious, relevant questions, they look down upon you, you know, as if you were a pariah. You're a disgrace to them to ask these great honorable men and women these kind of questions. And so I'm going there next week, and I intend to participate in this dialogue. I know it's an exercise in futility because these folks have no shame, right?
Where is he coming to?
He's coming to the Jamaica it's coming next Thursday in Queens at the Jamaica Arts Center on Jamaica Avenue. That's right near Parsons Boulevard, right near where the Social Security office is, right in that area. You'll see the crowd going. Anybody goes there, 6 o'clock. You'll see the crowd going in. So that is where he will come to talk down to his minions and filibuster the time and grant a couple of minutes to take a few soundbite questions. So I am going to see if they're going to live up to what they say, which I know they won't, to engage the community in things that are relevant and pertinent to our community. And by the way, this month here, is going to signal 8 years since that massacre in Jamaica, right? And to date, they have put together a commission, and a honorable commission of their friends and colleagues and so forth, spending a whole lot of the people's money to provide salaries and amenities for these folks. And to date, all that have come out of it is that no one has spent 1 second in jail. I didn't expect it to. And so the people has not been compensated, the loved ones have not been compensated in any way, and many are still looking for their loved ones, don't know what happened to them. A kind of a Panama, U.S. Panama situation where they went to arrest this man of a sovereign state, Noriega, and kill so many people. Folks are still looking for the loved one. The same thing where people with the blood of Africa coursing through their veins would unleash the power of the state on a community of poor people. And where is the next one? The next one is going to take place. If they can so callously and flippantly just exterminate people's lives, human beings' lives, just like that, it's becoming a habit. Not since the days of the British imperialism in Jamaica, as we had that kind of slaughtering of African life. And now they have been taught so well by the oppressors that they are now slaughtering the lives of their own people.
What do you think is behind the resuscitation of the former prime minister? He had very carefully and deliberately avoided public life, and he receded into the backgrounds. Why is he coming forward now in a public way and acting as a kind of ambassador, if you will?
Well, he has been given a position by this present prime minister, who is from his party, the Labour Party, the Republican Labour Party that is in power down there now. He has been sanitized by the media down there that has been owned by white folks from the days of slavery. They have been putting out all kind of derogatory stories about African people. It's been owned by them. And you have the big man, Butch Short, who owns another paper. Poor people don't own a media down there. So the story you're getting is what they want you to have. So this man now, he has been given a position by the prime minister here to head some of contingency to analyze our Jamaican relationship with CARICOM. and the relevance of Jamaica being a part of CARICOM. So he has been, he's been sanitized, and he's been, they're preparing him again to for another, maybe another shot at prime ministership or something. But he that is my assessment, analysis of what is happening. And so right now, this massacre here, maybe it's only myself and a couple of conscious folks and the victims in Jamaica that remembers this massacre. It's going to come and pass and go away like nothing didn't happen. And this is just to show you how irrelevant and how the lives of African people has become so cheap and irrelevant, not only to the oppressors, the usual oppressors, but to our own oppressors who look like us. This is what is bothering me. That is why I mentioned when this man, these African leaders are coming here to this white supremacy White House and meeting this super racist here. And not one of them in any of other press conference and to bring up the issue of this, what this man has referred, how he has referred to African people, the continent, that they are sucking the life's blood of this continent, all the resources that the multinational corporation are sucking the life's blood from these S-hole countries that they're talking about. And they have no shame. And this is, and our people are just falling in line. It is worrisome, my professor. It is grieving me as an elder. I was hoping that before I go through the pearly gates, I would have some good news to tell Brother Malcolm and Marcus and Dr. King and Fannie Lou Hamer and Harriet Tubman and all these people. I'm hoping that I would have some good news to tell them, but it is dismal. I don't see it. Maybe you can, as my therapist, you can, help me.
Well, I wish I could, but I can't, because I agree with your assessment of what is going on in terms of leadership that has gotten away with such utter betrayal of the people they say they represent. Mm-hmm. And I also see, though, that the people themselves are not energized enough to make it a point, to make it an issue. Mm-hmm. They're backing off of a fight. And this is a very important fight because, mm-hmm. Here we have a prime minister, as you were talking about today. How do you explain his yacht? Mm-hmm. How do you explain the prime minister's yacht? How do you explain the cozy relationship he has with all these entities, business-wise and otherwise, political, mm-hmm. That we haven't seen a consistent pattern of these agencies and corporations really having the interests of the people at heart. So it comes back to what are people willing to do if they really want things to be different, but they sit aside and they're not involved. Mm-hmm. And you need an involved electorate. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that. So that is an issue of yourself destructive. Mm-hmm. If you expect, especially in these times, that people are just going to do what the popular sentiment is, and somehow they will move away from the old model of taking orders from the oligarchy and doing what they wish for a select few at the expense of the many in the Caribbean especially. But it's universal, and people do not react. They just don't. And there is, I guess the first thing is for people to invest mm-hmm. in their own liberation, and they're not.
No.
So that's the sad part of things. But thanks so much for calling and bringing that to our attention. And I'm sure We'll hear from you when you do attend these receptions or this particular reception in Queens when the Prime Minister comes. Thanks so much. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, beloved. How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
You know, I'm fine, thank you. I was listening to Gary, and that brother is just an angel. He's you know, and we find all kinds of reasons to complain and cry and excuse me, and you know, just complain. I'm just tired of hearing it, because I tell you why. It's very, very simple. It's because we are unwilling to do. First of all, let me thank you for the program you did a couple of weeks ago with Martin Luther King and Winnie. I agree. I have nothing to say about Sister Winnie. She's my angel, regardless of what they say, the media says about them, because we know that they're liars. We know that. Now, here's my problem. If we should do what we have to do, we already have certain things in place, okay? For example, you complain about a computer. There are people in Florida. They should be there to expert listening. They should be there to provide you with a computer and whatever technical help you need, because you're doing the work. You see, it is us who are not doing what we're supposed to do. Very simple. Now, I'm suggesting, because I think we own this. This is ours. And the only thing we could do is make it better and make it worldwide. Do you follow what I'm saying? We already own this. We have unbridled access. That is something that we have to be really, really thankful for and thank Gary for. Now, we have to make it better. That's all. Now, listen, I know you always say, you always talk about Farrakhan and the Minister of the Nation of Islam. I have to, because when I came back, I was just like anybody else. They don't want nothing to do with it, based on what the media, the so-called media, painted of that brother. So I have nothing to do with media. But many of us, we have access. PRN and WBI, but PRN is a voice of reckon. We know that. We really, even though we question it, but we really know whatever you hear coming from Patrick Gary and you. It's, you don't have to question it. It's true. So I'm about to say, I want to make a statement, right? Now, I don't think, I'm not very articulate, I wish I was, but I think that we shouldn't be allowed to vote, because we have just been made too much of foolish people. We shouldn't be allowed, because just imagine if we had Hillary. We wouldn't be at war already, even though we're still going to war. I mean, these people are still going to war, because we ain't got nothing to do with it. Now, Mr. Farrakhan, everybody could go look at it for themselves. Save This Day 2018, just go to the Nation of Islam, and Save This Day will show up. He did us the Save This Day lecture, and we had some people from the Senate. Now, here, from the House of Representatives. There are some people that we don't even know who they are. They are saying that anything less than them residing is unacceptable. Now, Martin Luther King...
Anything less than what? You said anything less than, and I didn't hear the rest.
The Congress people that we've elected... Simply, yes. Because they were in the same room with the minister. Now, wait a second. What has he done? Why is he so hated? And who are these people? So,
here's the thing. I used to be, and I still am very, very critical of black leadership. I just can't imagine what the reason is that they just simply sit down. They just sit down and sit out. But there's another side to it, and that is what politics has become. And again, they can get away with this because their constituencies do not hold them to account. It's as simple as that. They elect people, or people are elected, and next they just leave them alone to do whatever it is they want to do. They don't keep a finger on the pulse of what is going on in Congress and what their congressional leaders are doing. They just don't. They absent themselves from the whole conversation. So the leadership does what it chooses to do. And number one, the number one thing they choose to do is to follow the orders of the Democratic Party. Just follow the orders.
Yes. So I'm saying, now that is a spit in the face of black people in America and Martin Luther King and all of those who struggled and died in the civil rights movement. And
yeah, but black people don't think so. This is my point. Huh? Black people don't think of it as a spit in their face. Because they've stopped thinking.
We shouldn't be allowed to vote. I have no problem with that, because we have been made into too much of a foolish people. How dare anyone tell me who I should be in a room with? And what have it reminds me of the days of WBI.
I understand your point. I understand the point that you're making about the lack of leadership and authentic leadership in the black community. But I keep saying the leadership is doing what it's doing because the electors have decided they just will, you know, once the election is over, they have no further responsibility.
That's right.
So it comes back to the people. The people have no interest in securing their interest. They walk away and they leave the so-called leadership to do whatever it is they want to do. And that's it.
Yes. Now, listen, I'm going to make a statement. And I know a lot of people, and my family, parent family, they will probably say that that man is out of his mind. Or he knows something that we don't know. Now, let me say this. You see, Donald Trump, I'm your so-called president. He was born for this day and this time. Many people will agree on that. But what a lot of people, this way, they're going to say I'm crazy. So is Mr. Farrakhan. He's born for this day and this time. Now, we know that you do not have Congress. That's the Knesset. Now they've taken your White House. All right? Now they're going to make them move on the minister. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I could tell you is this. I'm quite aware of climate change, global climate change, geoengineering, all that stuff. But if you watch the weather, these are just signs. Simply because you're planning your move. There's nothing to stop Trump, because you know he ain't got no sense. There's nothing to stop him. But he's in full control of him. But you see, when they make the move, then the whole world will see there's a force bigger than this.
Well, you know, I've heard these kinds of sentiments expressed before. And we have seen tyrants come and go, and the world didn't do a thing.
No. It's not the world. It's nature. It's nature. Yeah. See, the minister I have been listening and studying that brother for the last 28 years. And I have seen him, and I've studied him. You could see that brother from my vantage point. I could see him walking up and down in your Bible, in your Torah, and your Quran. From my point of view, that's all I gotta say.
Well, let's see what people are saying and reacting to your thesis.
I love you, my sister. And so,
I want you to summarize it in a couple of sentences. What do you think the situation, the most important aspect of the condition that we're in is, and what should people be doing about it? If you could summarize it.
I haven't given that a thought, but I know it's time. Because of all the things that the United States has done, it is time. And we all see this. Because Trump only has 4 years. I mean, at best, maybe eight. So, in another, before that time comes, we will see who and is there some forces that is bigger than this. All right? Because they're going to make the move. That's all I can say. I don't know what's going to happen. But this is what I need to say. All right?
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Peace.
Peace. You know, people have all different kinds of ways of interpreting our reality. And very often, we think that some ideas are so way out there, but they're not. People are seeing things, but sometimes it's hard to articulate every single minute detail. But we get the big picture. What is your reaction? What are your thoughts about what Willie has offered today? We have time for at least two more calls. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. The reason that we talk on Free Your Mind Friday is exactly this. It doesn't matter whether people agree or don't agree with your position. It is important that you can state your position and back it up. And that's, to me, the most important thing about a program like this. When we are talking about the issues of the day, everybody's going to have a different opinion. But in the end, of what you're saying, how much of what you're saying is relevant, and why? Why should we be thinking about the things that you're saying? Well, obviously, as we listened to the calls coming in, they talked about all different kinds of things, but the relevance is that they are pointing out to us, listeners, that there's something wrong. They have an idea of what it is. And they have even ideas about how we can fix things. But what are we seeing? Are we seeing the points that they're making? Are we seeing the arguments that they're making? And it's okay to disagree. Really, it is. Because that, too, takes us to a point of learning about things. From California, Michelle, you're on the air.
Hey, Eugene.
Hello.
How are you? Hi.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm great, despite. Anyway, I wanted to congratulate you on having such a, it's probably one of your best shows, the show you had with Reverend Pinky. That show really gives me a lot to think about. This man is incredible, and I really will send him a donation, because I really would like to be involved. I'm just, you know, working in an international country right now, and it's hard for me to participate on anything, but he's doing such an incredible job. And to me, having the government behaving like mafia, we have a mafia government in the White House for since the Bushes. We have mafia, you know, government in every state. It's like there is no government for the people. We have to govern ourselves. And what he did is like an inspiration for me to say, hey, you know, why are we spending $30 billion a month destroying other countries, and the people in St. Michigan and are drinking for the past 7 years leaded water, contaminated water? This is a shame. Where are the black people? Where are the black celebrities? Right now, you know, the U.S. government is having a war with the weather. There's a new show on PRN called Global Geoengineering, Global Alert News every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. People should, you know, listen to it and see what they are using the weather for. They are controlling. As a matter of fact, Michio Kaku said that on many, you know, TV stations, saying the U.S. has been using the weather, manipulating the weather, create all these hurricanes. As a matter of fact, if you look at Yahoo News, it says, you know, in October, we're going to have worse, three times worse than what happened last year with all these hurricanes. And by the way, I want to send a message to all of you. Harvey is still talking about climate change and global warming. We are not at that stage now. We are in, you know, global engineering. We don't have our own weather. We don't have, I'm not saying humans are not participating in messing up the weather, but right now it's worse than that. They're dumping aluminum and barium, aluminum oxide and aerosol, and we're breathing that stuff. And now Bill Gates said the other day that the U.S. is going to have a pandemic. Be ready. We have to create a vaccine for it. Everything is like we have a vaccine for it. So they're using this pandemic in the form of these airplanes spraying us like mouse, like rats. And we're not doing anything. To me, I don't mind talking about black history, about history, but right now we're dealing, like, you know, Reverend Frankie, we're dealing with situation where he said, they find 8 black men in that harbor water. Well, in Benton Harbor, they find 8 black men murdered in this water. So they contaminated the water that we are drinking, and there's genocide going on at a local level, and we should be outraged. Every radio station should be outraged. And I commended you a lot, Utrecht, and I wish more people could listen to your program, and you are very brave and inviting him before and then after he was released. To me, for them to be able to arrest a reverend without any fact, put him in jail for 2 years, to me, I never seen anything like this. To me, things like that, it's happened in other countries where they have dictators. Look at what they're doing to Syria. I mean, Gary had a show tonight, and he was giving the history of Assad. He's behind who Assad is. The guy is a great guy, and the media made him look like a monster. I mean, things are going on and on and on, you know, like chemotherapy, vaccination of our children, and drugging of our mental of our children. And we are stagnant. We're not moving forward with anything. You know, you should play that show one day, you know, again, Reverend, thank you. And to have to stimulate people, you know, to just be like him, to create communities where we can make things happen and change our situation. Because people, right now we have 300,000 people who left Puerto Rico because they use the weather as a weapon against these people. You know? Are you there, Utrecht?
Oh, yes, I'm listening. I'm listening very intently.
I mean, they're doing what you call mass migration. Look at how they move around the people in Louisiana. Right now, if you go in that same spot where Katrina happened, what do you think is there right now? High-rise, touristic place. I bet with you, you will never hear flooding going on there because that's what they wanted. They're moving, they're forcefully moving people around using the weather. I'm not saying other countries are not doing it, China and Russia, but they are not doing it like that against their own people. Right now, they're doing it against us. They're using it to
And again, this is one of the good things about the potential of this program is to have people do the educating themselves. Because there isn't enough of a fast wake-up. You know, people are not responding. And perhaps person-to-person education, they would start thinking about these things more. And they would start seeing connections that they hadn't seen before because they just weren't listening.
By word of mouth, PON should be at the top level, you know, just the word of mouth. People, they listen to the show, they call, the same people are calling, you know, and people are saying, I listen to your show, you know, every day. And people are very passive. There was a woman who called one time. I think I forgot her name, but she said something that was, no, it was a guy calling from New Jersey. And even the school shooting, we don't get it. You know, we don't get it. These things are not really happening. These things are done by the government. They have an agenda to take guns away from people so they can kill us easy. So we don't defend ourselves when they are ready for us. They have a plan for us. But we're sleeping at the wheel, okay? They have a plan, and we go, hey, yeah, it's the Democratic Party that's behind it. You think one person is going into a nightclub and kill 60 people and wounded like 300 people? No. And that same guy who did that in Orlando, his father was in the front row in Hillary Clinton's convention, okay? These are not happening like that. All right, that guy in Las Vegas, all the people who are doing great reporting on YouTube showing the fact it didn't really happen, they took them off YouTube. Okay, there is a cleansing going on right now of the 5% real news media, and they're calling them fake news right now. Gary gave a list, was talking about it before. And we have to pay attention. We're living in a very dangerous world right now. And they have so many plans for us. We cannot be sitting anymore talking about, reparation and for the black slave and all that stuff. I understand they are important, but we have pressing issues right now in front of us where they are ready to destroy us. And we have to be vigilant.
I take your points very seriously, and I think we all should. But I also think We shouldn't lose hope. We can't afford to lose hope. As critical as we are, and we are, we also have to hold on to the hope that in talking with each other and other people talking with each other, we're getting somewhere in improving people's consciousness. And in improving people's consciousness, you improve their actions. You know, they are more impelled or compelled to act once they have figured things out. So we're in that stage, and I am so honored by the contributions that people make when they call this program. They're offering the best ideas that they have, their best solutions that they have. And this is part of the work we have to do. We simply have to knuckle down and reach out to people and tell them, hey, this is what is happening. Thank you so much for your call. Well, we have come to the end of our program today. The reason being that if anybody else starts talking, they'll be cut off in no time because we're really up against the clock. I want to thank you. To thank you all for bringing the best of yourselves to this program, because a lot depends on how we interact with each other. If our interactions are good and strong, then people will be inclined to receive the information and do something with the information. If our reactions are like the typical, like the White House, where everybody's biting each other's heads off just to make a point, we're not getting anywhere. So I thank you very, very much for making that strong effort to sincerely offer the best that you have when you call. That's great. And I thank you for the pleasure and privilege of your company. I don't take it at all for granted. It is an eye-opener to me to be in the middle of people who come to a program with a specific purpose, which is to share. And you can't get better than that. So I thank you for that spirit. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Dr. Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You will always learn something new from that. And over the weekend, reconstitute yourselves, rest a little bit, you know, take, pamper yourself a little bit, because you know the battle begins Monday morning. So you want to take care of yourselves, really. I thank you very, very much for the pleasure and great privilege of being in your company. Bye-bye.